All right. This is Wednesday, August the 10th, and this is the Gold Challenge call. And I have Karen on the line. We'll see if anyone else joins us. And Karen, I'll just say, if it does end up being just you and me, and we do a one-on-one, and it's kind of private, I won't post the recording.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah,
we've been out most of the day, and I've just missed so many of these, and I saw the reminder message, and I thought, well, it was within the first 15 minutes. I thought, well, I'll pop on and see what's going on.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
And by the way, I did move the grad call to 1 o'clock on Fridays.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I was hoping that would work out better for you. There's a couple of dates that I had something else. I can only spend an hour. But if there's only a few people, which in the beginning there's only going to be a few until there's more graduates, then we probably don't need 2 hours anyway.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's certainly helpful for me. So,
good.
And I'm sure you didn't do it just for that, but I do appreciate it.
I'm willing to do it just for you because it's the feedback that I got. If people don't tell me,
you don't know.
I can't accommodate their schedule, and I've always wondered what would be the best time.
Right.
I'm limited in that I can't do the evenings and weekends when I know would probably be best.
Sure.
It's my speaking.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's what I love doing. You know me. When I get in my classroom, I love.
Right.
So tell me how things have been going since the class.
You know, it's I probably not as well as I would have liked because I haven't been able to, I don't think, incorporate a lot of the things because my husband's been gone quite a bit. He's traveled quite a bit, and then we sort of had a – we had a health issue here, which kind of made things a little crazy, and so it was. It's not been normal since, like, you know, a week after your class ended.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So.
So we want to help get those skills really mastered, so that when you get into those modes, you're not falling on the old fallback, but you've got these to fall back.
Right, that's what I was doing, and that is frustrating. Yeah. So. I think mainly it's you know, before there wasn't so much of a sibling issue as just, you know, my communication and doing the dip and, you know, the way I communicated with them. But now there's just seems to be just so much more pushing each other's buttons and, you know, constantly trying to aggravate one another. And I think it's really more the older one. She's 7, as a reminder, and the twins are 3.
Okay.
And, you know, the older one has a tendency to just put her 2 cents in constantly, and that aggravates the little one instead of just letting it go, you know, being quiet, you know, tells her what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it.
So she's still kind of being mommy's helper, but a little bit too much so and not always at appropriate time.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And, you know, the one of the things that was really helpful in the beginning was, like, the regular everyday – somebody else coming on?
Yeah, let's just check them in real quick. Hi, who just joined us?
Hello, Trevor speaking.
Hi, Trevor. I have Karen, who is a graduate, on the phone with us. And Karen, Trevor is from South Africa.
Hi, so Trevor.
There's a bit of a delay.
Hello, Jody. I'm going to be about another 5 minutes, and then I'll be with you. I'm just seeing some people out the door, okay?
Okay, all right.
I'll stay online, but I'll be with you now.
Okay, all right. And Karen, whenever we say something, we just need to take a little bit of a delay while the signal gets across halfway across the world to Trevor.
Sure, so, no problem.
Okay.
So anyway, what I was saying is the, you know, the normal things like teeth, you know, instead of go brush your teeth, just, you know, the one word, you know, close at the end of, you know, or hamper or something to remind her instead of saying, and that stuff, you know, that stuff has been helpful and useful.
Good.
So
you're kind of training her how to use the don't say don't and the one word and some of those.
Yeah.
It's like, I appreciate your help, but if you could do it this way, it would be an even better help.
Right. And I tell her all the time, tell her what you want her to do.
Yeah.
And I tell her, don't say don't, and, you know, no. Tell her what it is you want her to do.
Yeah.
But she's seven. She gets frustrated with that, and she tries to come up with a, you know, long, involved, you know, explanation. But instead of having to tell her 15 times, go get in the car and buckle up, she's my little lawyer. You know, she argues. I have to be more careful about waiting, letting her finish her sentence, even though I know I'm going to tell her no.
Oh,
letting her finish it, and then telling her instead of no, but what she is going to do.
Yeah.
And then she'll say, well, what about this? Or how about this? And it's always a variation. It's basically the same thing I've already told her she can't do, but she comes up, she like rewords it.
And have you taught her what the sharp RV are yet? Would she understand them?
Not in the way I probably should have, no.
Because that might be, if she's kind of a little union negotiator and wants to negotiate everything,
yeah.
If she can learn what this bottom line is, then tell her, before you ask me something, you got to make sure that it fits the bottom, you know, the sharp RV, the bottom line, because I can't negotiate that. Now,
okay.
If you can present something, if you want to present, you know, your plan
an
to me.
Alternative, right.
Yeah, it has to fit the bottom line. And then I'm a lot more likely to say yes. We might need to work out a few details, but I just can't negotiate those.
Right.
And it sounds like she's bright and verbal enough. That might help.
No, that might. I mean, she, you know, we go over to my mom's and she, you know, my mom's got candy and stuff, and she gets treats over there, and I don't mind that, you know, because she doesn't always get them here, and that's kind of what, you know, being at grandma's is for. But, you know,
right.
In the summer, she's got a pool, and we're over there every day. So, you know, we just pull up in the driveway, not even out of the car yet. Can I have a piece of licorice, you know? And I just want to turn around and smack her. We're just in, we haven't even gotten out of the car yet. But, I mean, that's her, you know, that's her thing. And it just,
do you think that she's asking you, like, in advance before we go in, am I going to be allowed to have a piece of licorice?
She wants one right then.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
And I'll say to her, we just pulled in the driveway. We're not having one right now. Maybe later. Well, when later? Well, later, just don't ask me again. And if you don't ask me again, maybe you'll get one. But if you keep bugging me about it, you won't get one.
Yeah. Yeah, and two things on that. I mean, that's one of my policies, and that's more of a Jody policy than a Parents Tool Shop kind of a recommendation, that if you keep bugging me, then the answer is going to be an automatic no.
Right.
So,
she knows that. It's just I shouldn't have to be telling her that stuff all the time.
Well, I'm wondering, is there some kind of, I don't want to say rule, because, you know, I'm kind of, let's just kind of stick with some generic rules, but when we go there, that we at least settle in, we visit a little bit, but like something generic that you could tell her that would help her understand when it is appropriate to ask for the candy.
Right. That's a good idea. And we have come up with a word for, like, you know, her sisters will be singing or doing something that she finds annoying.
Uh-huh.
And she can't. And I said, okay, well, let, you know, just ignore. Well, I don't want to say that in front of the girls because I don't want them to think they're being ignored. So she came up with the word, Snickers, that, you know, when I say, and she laughs about that, but she knows what it is, but then she's, you know, I can't do that. That's really annoying. And then she'll yell at her, and then her sister, you know, touches her car seat, and then we get into a full-blown, you know,
right,
screaming
okay.
match. While we're driving down the road, and
okay, so can we start to teach her about how to ignore effectively, like the goals of misbehavior? Now, obviously, not at the same level that you learned it, but her sisters are trying to get her attention,
right?
And we stop. She can stop once and say something once, and that would be to tell them if they want her attention, how she is willing to be involved with them. Then she could ignore. Because maybe the reason the ignoring is still bothering her is because she's only ignoring.
Right.
So, and if you could convey that to her in a general way, that you could say, well, maybe the reason they're still bothering you is that they don't know how they can get your attention in a way that you will pay attention. Try to put it maybe in kid terms for her.
Right.
That's so funny that we're like teaching her the skills.
But I'm just learning.
Right. But that's so, but what that really shows, though, you know, is it's so universal. And the kids, I mean, these are just all around good relationship skills. So it's like kids need to learn this, too. But especially being an older sibling, and with them being the twins, I'm sure that being twins, I'm sure that she's really been helpful, you know, in helping you out, being mama's helper, but she's just kind of getting a little bit, you know, too militant about it.
She's
too enthusiastic.
Yeah, she's very, very militant about it. And,
this will really help her in her friendships, because if she does tend to be kind of bossy or controlling or impatient, that's going to end up causing her problems with friends, too. So it could be that she'll be able to translate these over to her friendships as she gets older.
Yeah, she has a hard time letting them do what they need to do. I'm constantly telling, you know, just leave her alone. Just let her be, let her be, let her be. And to the point where now the twins are telling her, let me be.
Well, now that's kind of interesting, because they're telling her to let them be, and she at times is saying they're not leaving her alone, and she wants them to let her be.
Right.
Okay, so maybe having the conversation about internal rechargers, you know, that people need to have space sometimes, and maybe coming up with a word besides let me be, to be the code word, once they understand the concept. I just use the concept of the bear in the cave. You know, that sometimes the bear's in the cave, and if you bother him when he's in the cave, he's going to growl at you.
Right.
So I wonder, and I wish Karen was on the call, because, a different Karen. Karen Bierdemann is one of our leaders, and she's a parent coach, and three out of the four people in their family are internal rechargers, and they have one child who's an external recharge. So they're always getting into these recharge conflicts. And I ought to ask her how she has explained that to her kids, because I know that they've had family councils and have, like, discussed this, because everybody needs their private time.
Right.
And they've had to teach each other how to respect that, and it's been particularly difficult for the external recharge kid to be able to respect that. So I'll ask her that and see if she has insights.
Okay. Good. So,
hi, Jody. I'm back again.
Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Jody.
Good. Karen is is a graduate of Parents Tool Shop, and she hasn't had a chance to get on the calls before, so we were just kind of doing kind of a marathon problem solving of some of the challenges that she's been facing since she graduated, and coming up maybe with a couple of plans that she can put into place. So,
I heard a little bit now the last 5 minutes. I've been listening quietly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Trevor, did you have anything in particular that you wanted to get on the agenda to discuss today?
I have two that I can put forward, but if you guys are busy with others, then we can keep those over.
Okay. Well, and I don't want to interrupt, Karen, because if you did have a few, did you have a few more, Karen, that you want to run past?
I just have one real quickly, and then I'll turn it over to Trevor. The twins are potty trained for the most part. One is, you know, completely, and the other one, like at night, we just put a pull-up on her. But lately, the one who's been potty trained the longest, and I don't know if it's when she's really tired, I'm trying to pay attention to her cues, but she always wants me to go with her. And it's really hard and it's usually like when I'm trying to get dinner ready, or there's a lot going on either at the very end of the day or in the morning when I'm trying to, you know, make lunches, last minute lunches, stuff that can't be done ahead of time, or breakfast. And I don't really have the time to take her by the hand and walk her into the bathroom when I know she's completely fully capable of doing this on her own, because she's been doing it for a while. And now all of a sudden she wants my help. And when I do find the time, or I'm so exasperated, I just do it because she's pawing at me and I can't get anything done. I go in there, and the minute we turn on the light and she sits down, she says, I want some privacy. I'm like, okay, thanks. really appreciate having to walk all this way to come here. You know. So I have to figure out something to tell her to encourage her so that she will do it on her own, because what I've been saying is you've been doing such a good job. You're my big three-year-old now. You've been going in and doing this by yourself for months now, and I recognize she doesn't know what months is.
Right.
But, Mommy is making dinner, or mommy is doing this. I try to be very specific about what I'm doing. Can you please go ahead and do that, and then we can do the happy dance when you come back. I mean, that was always a little thing that we did with them, and I figure maybe she needs that again. But that's,
yeah.
She just whines until I stop whatever I'm doing and go in there, because otherwise she'll pee on the floor.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
yeah.
So let's apply the blueprint to this, because we got to figure out what type of problem it is. So it's obviously a misbehavior. It sounds as though it's on purpose, because you said she's mastered the skills.
Totally. And this is
okay.
not most of the time. This is, she could, if I wasn't here, she could go in there, she could turn on the light, she could get on the potty, she can do the whole thing. There's a step stool, wash her hands, dry, you know, take the towel, dry it off, hang it back up. I mean, she totally has that mastered. There's no question about that.
Okay. So what is it that she's getting from you escorting her? Would it be attention?
Yeah, complete and total, when I don't have it to give.
Right. And does this happen all the time when you're home, or is it mostly when you're just home and in the middle of something and busy?
When I'm home, usually in the middle of something, but it's usually in the morning and in the evening. Sometimes during the day she'll go by herself, but I mean, she always tells me, and I would say, okay, go on in, and if I have the time, I'm happy to go walk her in there.
Yeah.
But I can't do that all the time.
And there's nothing about her walking in, like she's not afraid of the dark or going up
the stairs.
No, not that. Okay.
Not that.
So it's really, but she will go in when you're not, she'll go on by herself when you're not in the middle of something.
Yes.
Okay. So is it that your attention is being devoted to something else, and that's why?
It must be.
It must be. Okay. So thinking about prevention, let's just kind of, I always fall back on the blueprint. So going back to starting at prevention, is there something, would one possible option be that, what could you do before you get in the middle of something? Is there something you could do before you actually get in the middle of the activity? Because it sounds like it's at certain times of the day that are almost predictable.
Right. Well, I could probably what I should do is tell her, okay, Kalia, we've been home now for 15 minutes. Mommy's going to start dinner. So if you have to go potty, I mean, we have a little potty in the kitchen. She doesn't use that. She wants to use a big potty. She wants to go in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I will need you to go do that by yourself, or maybe take your sister with you if you want, but mommy is going to need to stay here by the pot or the sink or the stove or the oven or whatever, and finish dinner so that you can eat.
Okay.
So you're going to need to go potty by yourself. I mean, I guess if I forewarn her.
Well, and part of that forewarning could be, if you want me to take you, I would need to do it now, or I would need to do it in the next 10 minutes
before
I get started.
Right.
After that time, then I trust that you'll go on your own.
Right. Well, that's a good way to say it.
So you could give her the option.
And now.
That would be, the bottom line is that once you get started, so let's think choices within limits. The bottom line is that once you get started, you really need to be tending to what you're tending to. So
right.
Her choices within that limit are, she can either choose when she goes, which is now with you, or later by herself. That's the when or the how.
Right.
Okay. And so then let's say that doesn't work. We always want to have your backup plan.
Right.
So that would be a good prevention. So then if then you've said that, and then she comes to pester you, then give me a quick acknowledgement of feelings, set limits, and if it's for attention, you're stopping once, you can acknowledge feelings, set limits, you've already done that.
Right.
You already did that in prevention. So all you really need to do is tell her how she can get your attention in a positive way. So what's a positive way she could be involved with you in that activity rather than having you pull you away from the activity to escort her to the potty?
Well, I could give her something to do. I could give her, you know, forks or plates or something to go on the table. It's just that usually at this age when they have to go, when they say they have to go, they have to go. They're not going to be,
mm-hmm.
she's not going to be. And so what I've been telling her is there, if you want me to be near you, there's a potty right here. You can sit down there and go, or you can go in the big girl potty in the bathroom. But mommy can't leave right now.
Okay. And then you could give her the option, if you want to spend time with me, as soon as you go potty on your own, come on back here and you can help me.
Right. That's probably what I've been saying. And I what's happening is I just don't, because then the older one is screaming at me about something and the other twin is, you know, whining about something, and then you just break down and put it aside and walk in and help her because it's easier and then be done. Smart enough to know that if I stand here long enough and kvetch at mommy, she's going to come with me.
And so if she knows that she just has to push you far enough and you'll give in, then what are you reinforcing?
A terrible behavior.
Yeah. So you don't want to give in. So what's the worst case scenario that's going to happen if you follow through with this and you don't leave to escort her? What's the worst case scenario?
She cleans up the pee-pee off the floor.
Yeah, she's going to pee right there on the floor, and then it'll be okay. You know, hand her the paper towels.
Yeah, yeah, which we did the other day. So, yeah, we've been...
Okay, and you're very good at being non-punishing, too. You know, was the choice that you made. Clean it up this time. You'll get another chance.
Right, right. Is it bad to tell her I'm disappointed? I mean, I have told her that. I said, you've been doing so good. Mommy's disappointed because every time she goes pee-pee in the potty or... She says, "You happy, mommy?" And yes, I'm very happy.
Oh, okay. So
when she does that,
go ahead.
So when she does that, you know, then she's and I say, "I'm happy. I'm happy for you because you're being such a big girl, my 3-year-old, and going pee-pee in the potty. I'm not happy for me. I'm happy for you."
Yeah.
And then, you know, so when I just say, "Kalia, you know where to go potty."
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll say, "You're not happy, mommy." And I say, "Well, I'm disappointed because I know that you know where to go potty."
Okay. So, well, let's flip a little bit. Just because disappointed can then, in the little child mind, get transferred into I'm a disappointment, and I know that's not what you mean.
No, so, I know I hesitate to.
Yeah. Right. So a little tweak on that, instead, because you're on the right track there with focusing on how she feels, I bet you're disappointed. How might she be disappointed?
Well, for one, she's wet. That's not going to feel very good, you know. Now she has to go upstairs, and she'll do that. I'll say, "You need to clean this up, and now you need to go upstairs in your bedroom and in the top drawer and go get some new underpants and put them on." And she'll do that. She'll do all that. She'll go up, and she'll come down and, you know, all happy with a new pair of underpants on. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you could have just gone to the bathroom by yourself, we would have saved that last part.
The time that you thought, was that an experience, a time where she did try to get you to leave and you didn't, and then she peed on the floor? Like you were following through?
No, she's never, I've never, that's not happened. She did the other day, she just, I don't know what she was doing. I wasn't there, and it was literally an accident. I think she was, you know, busy, and then all of a sudden she was like, uh-oh, you know, and then I just said, okay, here, let's clean it up.
Right, okay. I'm going to be curious if you follow through and that happens, if that breaks her.
Right.
Of the whining and the tugging. Because you're going through.
Right. Well, you know, the one way to find out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it might be, you know, an accident or two, but I think it's important for you to follow through.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, you know, oh, I bet you're disappointed that you didn't realize soon enough that you had to go to the bathroom. Or I bet you're disappointed that you didn't ask me before I got started on dinner so I could go with you.
Right.
I might just tweak that to maybe being her disappointment.
Right. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Okay, good. Good. You got some good. You got some new fans.
I do.
You never get an encounter with Jody where you don't walk away with some assignment or homework, right?
Oh no. And that's really helpful. And I appreciate it. And I would like to hear what Trevor has to say, but unfortunately I have to go pick the girls up from camp right now. Is that okay if I hop off the call?
That's fine. I'm glad that you were able to come, and hopefully it'll work out for you to do a grad call.
Yes. I think this is a decent time for me, and the 1 o'clock will be helpful too.
Okay, good. All right.
Thanks, Jody.
And then call in. I want to hear how things go.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye,
thanks,
Trevor.
Karen.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Trevor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Jody. It's very nice to be able to be on holiday. And although I have been chased from pillar to post, I'm busy changing my garage into a little flatlet to rent out to earn some pocket money. So I've had some people in Chittenden, so that's...
What are you turning it into?
Just a little flatlet, a one-bedroom flat.
Oh, okay.
A one-bedroom flat, a little, so I can rent it out and earn some pocket money.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I had the chap in there today working in there, and then there were a couple of things we had to go and buy, so, yeah, so... But still, you know, it's nice to be able to do things at your own time and pace.
Yes, that's nice to be on holiday to get caught up on those things.
Yeah, and then we had a very enjoyable life group tonight, a Bible study group, and it went on a bit longer than normal. And I just wanted to get on call because I was scared I was going to miss the quarter past deadline, and you would have gone off, and I didn't want that to happen. So that's why I called in and said I'd be back in a moment while I say goodbye to the people.
Well, good. That was a good plan, because, yeah, if no one's on the call at a quarter after, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know. In any case, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I've got myself organized and prepared for my little presentation.
Good.
Video recorder sorted, and yeah. So yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow.
Good. I'm excited to hear how it goes.
Yeah, I'll edit it and send it through as soon.
Good. And you said you had two possible questions or situations?
Yes, the one is a young boy that I teach, and his marks have dropped down by about 6-7% on his average, on his aggregate, and I have learned during the year that he is always seeking attention. He would be a praise junkie. And so my question basically is, what are the tools that one would use so that we could wean, I think is the correct word, wean him off the praise so that it, instead of relying on the external, he goes to the internal?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would I give his parents? Because they're saying that he is being a bit cheeky, and he's taking them on at home. It seems that Dad is listening and allowing him to have his say. So he's forever saying to Dad, but you're not listening to me. So I suppose it has something to do with the way they handle problems, and internal and the venters and all the rest of that sort of thing. And she allows him to have his So again, it looks like the parents are not totally in unity and in sync on how to handle the situation. So what's the best kind of advice, or what are the best tools that we could direct them towards in asking them helpful questions?
Okay. So it sounds like there's a couple of issues here I'm hearing. You've got an attention, there's the attention hog piece of it, which might be tying into the you're not listening to me statement. So I want to explore that a little bit. And then how to wean kids off of praise. And then was the last thing you said that he's kind of playing, they're not, the parents aren't on the same page, so he's playing them against each other?
Yeah, so it's just divide and conquer.
Okay.
I think the thing is that parents often they struggle with their interaction with their child, but they're using two different parenting styles.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And then he learns how to work them against each other or manipulate.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, let's
start.
Yeah,
master psychologist.
Okay. Right. Right. And you don't have to be, but educating, helping them learn better skills could be helpful to them. So let's start with the praise. Now, if you were
I was calling.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just calling the little boy the master psychologist.
Oh, okay. I thought you said I'm not the psychologist.
Nah.
Okay. Well, let's start with the more simple and then get into the ones that I think I need some questions on before we can maybe come up with a plan you can take back with them. So for the praise judge, my first question was, if you were to make suggestions to them, would one or both of them be open to trying them? Are they asking for suggestions?
The mother is asking. Not too sure whether I will get the interview with both of them. So I, at the moment, let's presume I'd only be working with her.
Okay. So, and at least you have one parent who's willing to make change, which will still change the dynamics in the family. It's always the pebble in the pond effect. So, all right. So starting with the praise, helping to wean kids off of praise, the best way to do that is to really consistently use the DIP, to give descriptive encouragement and the other self-esteem tools. And kids will still, Karen, I don't know if you were listening to what Karen was saying. I don't know if she said this before or after you got on the call, but that her daughter says, are you proud of me? Did you see me? Did that make you happy? Do you like what I did? Kids will ask for the praise, and what we want to do is respond in a way that gives them descriptive encouragement instead, so that they're not having to constantly seek out others to get affirmation. That's feeding into this child's attention-seeking behavior, is that part of that is that he feels like he has to get someone else to tell him that he's okay, and that's part of what's probably keeping him engaged and seeking attention. So what we want to do is to try to minimize some of that, because kids can come to us to get praise, but then they also can come to get undue attention, and they can come to us to get appropriate attention. And two out of those three, we want to eliminate or redirect in a way that they're getting their needs met without them having to behave inappropriately. So on the praise junkie, I would be sending her to an article, maybe the Lunch and Learn audio on self-esteem, or have her sign up for the 30-day challenge where we cover the basics of praise versus encouragement, building self-esteem. There's a couple of other self-esteem building tools in there. I don't know that I would try to just give her a quick tip on that, because I don't think it's a quick tip. I think she needs to learn the skill and understand why that skill is important and how that will help curb that behavior.
I did tell her that she needed to do the 30-day challenge.
Mm-hmm.
She went about and I said, I'm not in the liberty and the position to tell you exactly what's going on. But by the time we get back to school in September, I will be able to direct her in the right direction, because I just wanted the web page and everything to be sorted out. Because, you know, once word gets out, you know, I think it's going to spread.
Yeah. Okay. There are free articles that she doesn't have to sign up for anything. If you back over on the old website under articles, I have quite a few that are on self-esteem and the praise versus encouragement. So those she could go ahead and do until we can get her into the 30-day challenge and everything.
Okay.
But on the praise one, I think she just needs to learn that skill and start to use that. And that the more she uses that, then the less the child. That's not a quick fix. That's like it takes a while for the child to start to internalize and not need the praise, and to start feeling the benefits of the encouragement, to where then the bids for praise start to drop off. So then going into the seeking the attention, I think part of that might be that is this whole praise issue, which I addressed. The other piece is, do you know this child? You've had this child, right? You know this child.
Yes, he's in my class.
Okay. Is he a chatterbox? What we would call a chatterbox, who just likes to talk about everything, and he has no filter, and every word that comes in his mouth goes in his head, comes out his mouth?
Yes, he is. And then also, you know, when you give attention to him, and then he's forever putting up his hand to draw the attention back to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I'm wondering if he's seeking attention. There's two pieces to this. One is when he's seeking attention in an inappropriate way, we want to follow the formula and that's what I was reviewing with Karen. You stop once, you tell them how they can get attention in an appropriate way, and then you ignore the inappropriate way. That's your basic formula. On the prevention end, you want to be providing opportunities for positive attention without them having to make a negative bid for that attention. So one of the things I found helpful in classrooms is when you have someone who just has that inordinate need of attention, of asking them to do a favor, or would you clean the boards, or would you like to take this down to the office? Not all the time that they're like teacher's pet, but often enough that they don't have to always make the bid for attention, that they're getting attention in a positive way. Sometimes that will curb some of that.
Yeah, I must admit, I agree with you 100%. One's natural tendency is to ignore it without replacing it. So I've had to work on that to try and look for opportunities to give him attention on the appropriate way. But it goes against your natural grain. So you've actually got to train yourself, hey?
Yeah, you're training yourself to prevent it. And if you reframe it as, I'm doing this to prevent it, what you don't want is for them to make the negative bid and then you pay attention to it, because that gives the payoff. If they make the negative bid and you only ignore it and you don't provide an opportunity or tell them how to get the attention in a positive way, then the ignoring doesn't work. So you need, on the positive end, to
give that's true.
Yeah. So the two things are, you want to give opportunities on the prevention side of it, for them to get positive attention without having to make the bid for it. And then when they do make a bid for attention in an inappropriate way or too much, you stop once, tell them how they can be involved in an appropriate way, and then ignore it. If you just ignore it, it's not going to work. And then what you tell them...
I've gathered it, yeah.
Yeah. And then what you tell them, when you stop once and you tell them how to get attention in an appropriate way, whatever you're suggesting, there needs to be something that helps them feel that they belong, that they're important. And this is right out of Dreiker's four goals of behavior, of seeking the prevention and then also redirecting it. So it's that they want to feel that they're important, that they belong, that they're noticed. And if they don't get that in a way without misbehaving, then they will misbehave in order to get it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So then the next one about not listening, of him saying, you're not listening to me, there, that could be a couple of different things. On the one hand, it could be that he's such a pest in terms of being a praise junkie and seeking attention that his parents are just so overwhelmed that then even if he really does want to be listened to, they're just kind of gotten in the habit of ignoring or cutting him off or whatever, so that then when he has something important to say, they're not listening. It's kind of like the boy that cries wolf kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that if they start using descriptive encouragement instead of praise, that will reduce some of the behavior. If they start giving attention in positive ways, he won't have to make the negative bid. What that will do is it will start cutting down how much of this inappropriate conversation or inappropriate bids for attention that he's making, so that what he's saying, what's left, are going to be one of two things. Either it's going to be he likes to talk a lot and he just likes to share, and it might seem insignificant, but he wants to know that his life is important and that his parents are willing to listen to something that to them might be insignificant, but it's important to him. He wants them to know. It's like coming home at the end of the day and saying, I want to tell you what happened today, and I just want to know somebody cares. The other thing it could be is that it really is something that he wants them to listen to. It really is important to him, and they're just not in the habit of listening. Or Karen had said early on, I don't think you're on the call, but she said it was a different context, but it was, my daughter goes to ask me something, and I already know the answer is going to be no, and I often interrupt her and don't let her finish, and then she gets frustrated. And so it could be something like that, where they're not really hearing him out, and or they're reacting in a way that he thinks they didn't understand. So I would, the next skill I think that would be helpful for them to learn is how to really listen.
Yeah, I think the last one is most probably the closest to the situation.
Mm-hmm. And again, I have free articles on the old site. If they do the 30-day challenge, they can get a few of the basic tools there. If they want more comprehensive training with still just, you know, whatever, $10, $15, $20, you know, they can get the facts listening, the Lunch and Learn audio, and that would give them more detail. Or if they have the book,
yeah,
you know, if they had the book, then they could, which you guys don't have the books down there in South Africa yet. We're working on that.
Then yeah, they, we'll work on that one.
Right, right. So now, what when you do the practice presentation, that's not on Thursday. That's not to, like, this parent isn't coming to that, right?
No.
Okay. And then when you go back to school, you're going to do your probationary presentation. And what topic is that on?
No. I'll do the probationary before I go back to school. That'll be on, yeah, that'll be on the parenting styles.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And blueprint and cooperation.
Blueprint and cooperation. Okay. So you don't happen to be doing anything on facts listening yet that she could come to? Okay.
No, not directly, no.
Right. Okay. Are they going to be coming to the, is the couple or the mom going to be coming to your parenting style?
No, she's not coming to that. No,
okay.
The probationary one, I'm chatting to a different group, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just thinking because the last thing you were talking about the kid the child using one parent against the other, the parenting styles is that workshop and that experience would help them identify where they're not on the same page and how they might be able to work together as a team.
Mm. Yeah, I think the best advice at this stage is to just get her onto the 30-day And then to say in a month's time, come back to me or whatever, as you're going through it, if you're picking things up and you want to have more clarity on it, come back to me and then we can chat around those.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. And that way, because I know you don't have everything put in place just yet for your coaching and the classes and all of that, but we still want to be of service and be able to give her information when she's really ready for it and she's asking for it.
Yes, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, so maybe just a couple of articles might be good, at least to get her started. It seems like the two big skill areas would be for them to do the descriptive encouragement and fact listening. That would reduce a lot. If they do the 30-day challenge, they'll learn the basic, what the four goals of misbehavior are and what the basic, the 1, 2, 3 for attention seeking is. They would learn that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, there we are.
Okay, good. All right. Well, and here we are. We're just 3 minutes from the top of the hour. So does that give you some ideas to go back to her with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. Very much in the kind of ideas that I did have previously, but it's just good to have them confirmed. Glad to see I'm getting there.
Yes, you are. Now, when you start doing workshops there and you send people to the site, like to the 30-day challenge, are you going to be offering your own gold calls for the people in South Africa, or are you going to be encouraging them to do these gold calls?
Jodie, I wonder whether they get encouraged to join these for a while till I get to a stage where I can say, okay, I can start for a while, but I would first like to walk with you for a while before I just jump off on my own bandwagon.
Yeah, because the reason I'm asking is I'm thinking if they were to do the 30-day challenge and go ahead and sign up for the gold call, we can be giving them support directly now, and that way they would have some follow-up until you get your workshop going and all of that.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't want to start running too quickly.
Right.
I want to do it correctly. I want to do it slowly. And I almost want you to come to a stage where you say to me, okay, I'm going to kick you out the nest now, Trevor. It's time you did it by yourself. You know, that's where I want to go.
Yeah.
That's where I want to go. I don't want to just get out there, run, and then fly, and I haven't developed properly and I can't fly and I just fall flat on my face I've spent too much time and effort and energy in everything for it to go and get impatient and hurry now. We take it slow, we take it easy, we be patient and we learn.
Yeah, and that's really what the probationary requirements for our leaders are for. From a quality standpoint, we don't want to send out leaders until they're ready, and have them. We don't want them to go fall on their face, not only because we don't want them to do it, but then that's a disservice to our parents. So the probationary requirements for advisor is that you do, I think it's 5, quote, supervised gold calls, which means basically I'm on the line too. And so I can be there to support you, or if you get stuck with something, I can be there for that. So our probationary requirements, that's why we have them, so that you can, it's not like we're totally holding your hand, but we're there. We got your back.
No, and that I really, really do appreciate about everything is this mentorship. I think in life, I haven't had enough mentorship, so I'm really enjoying the whole mentorship section of this program.
Good. And I'm glad that you're patient with that and open to that, because some people are like, oh, now I got to do probation. Come on, I want to get out there and get going. But it really, that's why it's there, is so that people don't jump out there too quickly and then get themselves, into. I've seen people go out there and try to teach it, and they really didn't do the prep and the practice that they needed to. And then they have a bad experience, or the parents have a bad experience, and we don't want that to happen. So that's why we pay attention and stay in touch and hear how things are going and make sure we're giving you the support so that you can go out there and be able to do it independently and still maintain the quality standards that we want maintained.
Now, I've seen that work in different environments. My wife and I have been running home groups and Bible study groups for a good 20, 30 years. And now we've seen some groups that have got too big and they want to split the group in half and then send some children, some guys this side and some guys that side. And when the leaders haven't been trained and raised properly, that little group just frizzles out and dies and a horrible death, you know. And that which could have been beautiful and wonderful just doesn't happen, you know. So I've seen that work out in practice. I'm in no hurry. Yet I'm hurry, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. And we have long-term plans, so they're not going to all happen overnight. So, yeah, we're going to take this one step at a time and make sure that we do it well. We really want the parents there to be well served.
No, well, that's exactly what I want to do as well.
Yeah. All righty. Okay. Well, then let's wrap it up for today. And I do just want to let you know that I'm looking into a couple of things at our previous conversation. Once I get some more of these answers, I'm going to send you back an email that has most of this information in it.
Okay. Just one of the things that I'm still quite keen to get an answer on is Gina's little training session. Have you got a date on that one yet for me?
Thank you for asking again. She is going to do it the last weekend in August, and she said that over the weekend she's pulling together publicity and she's going to be sending it, and so I'll be telling everybody else on hopefully Monday. I should have information to send to folks for getting registered, but I'm glad you said that because I meant to tell you that she did lock in the date. So it'll be the 27th and 28th, 26th and 20th. It's the 27th and 28th of August. And then I should be able to send details next week.
Okay.
Okay?
Good. I'm looking forward to that.
Good. I know. I am too.
Awesome. And then I did post my book to you today.
Okay. And I did see the email. They had the link to it. I haven't had a chance to go out and look at it yet. And I wanted to email the guy that works with people in trauma. And I just haven't gotten to. I've been on back-to-back calls.
Yeah.
I had a workshop last night. And it was great because I've been over June and July, I don't do many workshops. There's no school, and the foster parent training company shuts down in July. So I had my first workshop again last night, and I've just been flying high ever since because I just love doing it.
Yeah, I must admit, when I come out from doing a workshop as well, it's nothing that me feel fly high more so than that at the moment. So yeah, I can understand that totally.
Yeah. It was a foster parent training, and one of the comments on the evaluation was, I've been a foster parent for over 10 years, and this one workshop was better than all the other trainings I've had in those years put together. And that was really, I was really, really grateful that they got that much from it. That was really great. So that was good.
I'm very, that's awesome. Well done.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm still working on all these other details, and we've had some other things come up around leaders at nonprofits, experts who are wanting to only do part of it. So we've actually had standards and practices meetings this week that we weren't expecting and some other stuff to try to, we've had a couple of little emergencies that have popped up. So I've gotten just only slightly detoured, but I wanted you to know I haven't dropped the ball and that I'll be getting back with you on all the various things we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm happy. There's no rush. I just wanted to know what that date was. I've got that date, so I'm happy for the rest of August. So when you're ready, when you're ready.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right, Trevor. Well, have a good rest of the evening.
Okay then, JD. Bless you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.